This episode is brought to you by Home Team Inspection Service. When you partner with Home Team, you're getting more than a home inspection. You're delivering the home team experience. With a team approach, fast turnarounds, and package options that include home inspection warranties, Home Team helps real estate pros stand out. Plus, many locations now offer pay at close, giving your clients flexibility when they need it most. Schedule your next inspection with confidence at HomeTeam.com.
When you grow your relationships, you'll grow your transactions. And in growing your relationships, it's really about taking care of the people who are seeking your service, taking care of those people at the highest possible level, and you're going to be all right. You really are, because they're going to refer other people to you. I can't say that enough.
Well, hello there. Happy day to you. I am Julia Lachey, and this is the Color of Money podcast. I am joined, of course, by my co-host, Emmerich Peace. We're missing a couple of our other hosts. We're missing Daniel Dixon and Bo Minkiti today, but that's all right. I think Uncle Emmerich and I can hold it down for the day. If you can see me, I'm wearing a, what do you call these things from Hawaii?
A lei.
Yeah.
A lei? Okay. I'm wearing a lei. This is my personal invitation to Hawaii. Someone came today and brought me a lei from Hawaii. When I put it on, I was like, oh, this is real. I'm wearing it all day. I'm going to sport it all day. So if you can see me, that's my attire today.
I didn't say that right, Julie. It's called lei.
That's what I said. Lei.
No, not a lei. It's just lei.
Yeah, but I can't say I'm wearing lei. I have to say I'm wearing a lei, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Friends, listen, we got a special guest with us. As you all know, Emmerich Peace is an OP, operating principal, of a market center that is predominantly Black-owned, 600 agents approximately in your market center. Yeah. Emmerich, is that correct?
That's right.
And who we have with us today is none other than his better half, the person who actually runs the, you know, there's somebody who owns it, and then somebody who actually does the work. There's somebody who runs it. and we have with us Pat. Pat is the actual team leader of said market center. And Pat's role is to oversee all of those agents, all 600 of those agents. So today, on our wealth building conversation, we're going to be focusing on homeownership and what realtors do, really. And when I say what realtors do, this particular podcast is calling Buyer Representation for Black Home Buyers. And the reason we're having this conversation is because, one, if you are not a realtor, we want you to understand the value and the purpose of using a buyer's agent. Two, if you are a real estate agent, then you know that buyer representation is a big conversation right now because there was recently a lawsuit filed. As a result of that lawsuit, there was a settlement. And as a result of that settlement, it is now impacting how buyer's agents might be paid. So the nature of this conversation today is twofold. Understanding the value of a buyer representative or a buyer's agent, you could call it, for buyer's agents, understanding the potential disproportionate impact that this lawsuit and this settlement might have. So Pat, welcome to the Color of Money podcast. Glad to have you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And I just have to make a tiny clarification. So we actually have a phenomenal team leader of our market center. That's Jamal Daniels. I'm actually the broker and co-owner with Emmerich. And I still maintain the title of co-team leader just so I can get all the perks. Okay.
That's actually not a small modification. That's a big deal. So I'm glad you clarified that. You are the broker, which oversees the licenses of the 600 said individuals and the co-owner of this wonderful franchise that you all have. That's a big correction. So thank you for correcting that.
Since we're making corrections.
Okay.
I want to say, my co-host, Julia Lachey, is now an operating partner herself.
Indeed, this is true.
In Minneapolis. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Welcome to the club.
Appreciate it.
I'm so excited for you because you are one of the few, and I'll say it, Black women that are in that role. And you're actually one of the few women in that role. And nothing else said beyond nothing else. I'm excited about the possibility of Minnesota with you at the helm.
I appreciate that. I am too. And we, you know what our goal is? And I know you always say the goal for other operating principals is to exceed you, but our goal is 500 agents and to be the largest. Our goal is to be, I know you say don't have a goal to be like y'all, but my goal is to be like y'all. That's the goal.
No, I want you to be better than that. You know,
I knew you were going to say that.
We are your new floor. So you just step on our shoulders and keep going. We're going to do this thing together. We're going to go get it together because we're a family. And you know, you have our support over here in Upper Marlboro.
I appreciate that.
Your phone call away anytime, any day. And then you just call us and then I'll call Pat and she can get it done.
Ain't that the truth? Ain't that how it goes, Pat? But listen, let me tell you about this lawsuit. So for those of you who are unaware, there's a lawsuit, we call it the Sister Burnett lawsuit. It was a recent commission lawsuit that alleged that the National Association of Realtors and several large brokerages, ours included, Keller Williams Realty, had artificially conspired to inflate the commissions paid to real estate agents. That's a lie. But also, the suit said specifically that home sellers were required to pay commissions to the buyer's agent, which sellers claimed forced them to pay excessive fees. So there's a whole, that in itself, we could go on a whole defense of why that isn't true and why that's a lie. But that's neither here nor there because we lost. but we lost. And then NAR settled, which is the National Association of Realtors. And in that settlement, they agreed to create new rules prohibiting offers of compensation on the MLS at all. So what that means is that offers of compensation cannot be communicated via the MLS. They can only be communicated through off MLS negotiations or your personal website or something else. They also created some additional rules that required buyers to enter into a written agreement with their real estate agent before we can even show you a house, which, by the way, most of us have always been having buyer agreements in the first place. I kind of like the fact that now we can say it was because of the lawsuit, you have to enter into one before I start running around showing you houses that, you know, that you might not buy. But that's all part of it. The information in here is plentiful. But what that means, however, is that the way that buyer's agents are going to be compensated may potentially and largely in part be from the buyer. And that presents a different conversation for us, particularly in the Black community, where we already have a large disparity in home ownership. Specifically speaking for my team, for example, we help a lot of first-time home buyers. We actually help a lot of first-generation home buyers. We actually have a grant that we're using right now for first-generation home buyers in Minnesota because there are so many that have never had anyone in their lineage own a home. And so we use down payment assistance and things of that nature. Adding on top of it, asking the buyer to also pay us, which just to clarify, we always had a written agreement that said the buyer owes us the commission unless we get it from the seller's agent, which we almost always did. In this scenario, that may become more difficult and the buyers may be asked to pay their agent directly. So the nature of this conversation, especially for you all, since you have so many agents and they're Black, you know, how this may disproportionately affect Black home buyers. So that's the whole, I laid it all out. Pat, what you think about all of this?
It's interesting times that we're in. We definitely here in our county, Prince George's County, Maryland, we're in a unique type of situation where Black people are the majority in the county. So most of the buyers and sellers that we work with just happen to be Black for the most part. But we also are licensed in Northern Virginia, D.C., and so we represent all walks of life. But as far as the lawsuit and the agreement that NAR has entered into, I just want to make sure, first of all, that everybody understands that the agreement has not been approved by the court. Until then, everything that we discuss, we're having discussion. We're pretty sure that the court will approve it because the plaintiffs and the defendants have gotten together and they've made this arrangement. This will definitely, if buyers especially buyers of color, are going to have to come up with additional money. There are going to be many of them that either will not be able to be in the game of home ownership, or they will not be represented because they won't have the means to pay. I'm hopeful that the conversations that are being had now with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they'll be able to come up with some solutions where either those funds, in the case of the seller not paying the buyer's agent, they'll be able to have some creative financing options to be included. Not that that's a great answer to the issue. However, it would be an option. And then also, Julia, we have to remember that a large portion of VA buyers are Black. And even if they had the money to pay the buyer's agent, VA does not allow them to compensate the person that they're being represented by. There are lobbyists that are out there now that are, you know, sending letters to the VA administration. I know that most all of the associations that represent a large population of people of color, such as NAREP, you know, their lobbyists and advocates are out there on the ground, just making sure that the people that can have some influence on freeing up some money and becoming more innovative in our approach to how we're going to deal with what could be very catastrophic for people of color, Black people in particular, if they do not have that opportunity to be represented because they don't have the financial means to do so. So you talk about, as far as Black people, we're the lowest percentage of homeowners across the board. We're at the bottom of the pack. But it's also interesting to me that we're also the bottom of the pack when it comes to real estate agents and brokers in the industry. We only represent 5%. So you really have to kind of look at it from a core issue. There are not enough of us that are in the industry. And then we have a situation where most of us represent people of color. And now they're going to be disproportionately impacted by the agreement, should it be approved by the court. So yeah, we've got to put our political hats on and be on the ground with these organizations that are advocating in favor of making sure that the people have the choice of representation. And we already know that most every consumer, based on all of the analysis, most every consumer chooses to be represented when they are investing in one of the largest purchases for most people in their lifetime. Nobody raises their hand and say, oh, I'm just going to do this on my own. And for those that do, like the for sale by owner, even they are like, no, I really should go and have an agent. Even when the defendants were on the stand, the defendant attorneys were saying to the plaintiffs, why didn't you just sell your house yourself? Because any and everybody can do a for sale by owner. And they basically responded, no, I wanted a professional. Who wouldn't want a professional to represent right. them?
Well, let me back all the way up. Everything you're saying is like, yes, yes, and yes. Let me back all the way up. And I love that you just brought that point up. What does a buyer's agent even do? I can go on the internet. I can go on Zillow and find the house I like. I can take myself over there and see it. I can have the listing agent meet me there and open the door for me. And then I can just work directly with them. What do I need a buyer's representative for?
There's so many reasons, so many things that people don't think about. When you are even getting ready to make an offer on a property, you want to make sure that you have a competent buyer's agent that's going to be able to do a comparative market analysis, make sure that everything is being compared apples to apples. You're going to want to make sure that you have the best home inspection person. Buyer agents have vetted these industry professionals so that you are able to choose from a high caliber of people to be able to do all of the things that go that are involved in the purchase. From the mortgage lenders to the home inspectors, making sure that the negotiation goes in your favor. Like if you don't know how to negotiate a contract, which most people, that's not something that they do on a daily basis, there are so many things that you have to watch out for. And it's just too many things that if you don't know what you're doing, you could be really, really in a bad situation.
Yeah. And even as I'm a licensed broker in the state of Minnesota and a licensed broker in the state of Texas, which, by the way, is incredibly hard to do because Texas is its own country. And I have been licensed for 24 years and I use a realtor when I buy a property, especially if it's not in my neighborhood or my neck of the woods. Real estate is local. I don't know a lot of the local things that I might need to know. I don't know the other agents that they might be, you know, using or negotiating with. There's a lot of factors that come in when buying a house that even realtors use realtors.
Yeah, so a funny story. When my husband and I bought our forever house, we had Emmerich represent us. Now, I know the area. I know all about it. For me, I knew it would be too emotional for me to, you know, be in there negotiating back and forth. So even I had representation in my own county.
Yeah. And so we understand the value of it. We as real estate brokers are using realtors because we need that representation. I wanted someone else to negotiate for me. I wanted a second opinion. Let's look at it from two perspectives. So from the buyer's perspective, if they're thinking, like I just said, well, I'll just go directly to the listing agent. I now need to understand that maybe I do need somebody to represent me because obviously the listing agent is representing the seller. They're looking for the seller's best interest. And I hired an agent because I want them to look for my best interest. So we understand what the agent does. For the real estate agent, let's flip to the other side. And Emmerich, I'd love to hear your thoughts too. They're afraid to maybe ask. And all the things we just said people need a realtor for, we have realtors out there that are afraid to share their value and say, and because of all these things that you just said, Pat, that I do, this is the fee that it costs.
Well, you know, the biggest thing with that one, Julia, is that it requires us to be it requires us to be more educated and understand the basis of our business so we can articulate our value better. And so as a professional, as an agent, you have to have your mission and your values and your beliefs in place of what your business represents, so that you're firmly grounded in the conversation of what do you bring to the table? What value can you add to my transaction? Because they say in the absence of value, price matters. So the question is, I'm paying a price for something. What's the value? And if you can't articulate the value, then nobody else is going to see the price.
They don't want to pay the price, right? Yeah.
So,
Pat, do you see this as I know you mentioned that the ink is not dry, right? It's not actually been approved by the courts because you said there are people who are fighting and lobbying to ensure it doesn't. Do you really feel like there is a potential disproportionate impact that it would, for sure it has the impact on first-time home buyers because regardless of race, 68% of renters said, I would buy a house, but I don't have the down payment. Mm-hmm. So regardless of race, already almost 70% of the people said, I ain't got the money to do it. They've got the capital. They've got the income. They don't have the down payment. But for Black people who earn half the income of the average white household, do you really think that this is going to disproportionately affect Black people? And if so, how?
Yeah, I definitely do. Now, let me just clarify too, like people that are lobbying now, they're lobbying with the thought that this agreement will go into effect. So the agreement, the only person that can change the agreement is if the judge doesn't like something about it. People are just being proactive on, you know, how can we make sure that people can still have representation? And definitely, yes, Black people will be disproportionately impacted because of the things that you're saying, you know, because there's already an income disparity. When you look at debt to income ratios, Black people generally are denied loans on a much higher scale because of debt to income, mostly because we bear the burden in a much higher percentage of student loan debt that's absolutely drowning people, preventing them from being able to purchase homes. Just, you know, we don't have generally the parents that can say, here, baby, here's $75,000. Mm-hmm. Go get your house. So all of those things, definitely.
Home Team Inspection Service is changing the way agents and clients experience home inspections. Their team-based model, streamlined scheduling, and bundled packages, including home inspection warranties, make the process smoother from contract to closing. And with Pay at Close available in many locations, you can give your buyers more peace of mind with less upfront cost. Choose the team that works with yours. Visit hometeam.com to learn more.
You said $75,000. They don't even have, hey, baby, how about $7,500, let alone $75,000?
Shoot, can I get $750? $750.
Can you find me the money for the home inspection?
Right. But so it is going to impact it. And here's my other concern. Any changes or the potential changes in this in commission structures, because we'll see some form of changes in commission structures. My concern is that it's going to influence the level of service or attention that buyers get. In real estate, we kill what we eat. If I'm not going to get paid the amount that I used to get paid to do this, how much time am I really going to spend and invest in these buyers? And that's my concern. I'm concerned that it might change the level of service buyers get or reduce the resources that buyers agents are willing to provide or can provide for them, or even the incentive to work with buyers that can't pay for their own buyer representation. I don't want somebody to say, I don't want to work with those people because they don't have no money to pay me anyway.
Well, you know, Julie, that's a point, and that's something that we have to really take a look at as professionals. The quality is in the quantity. It may come to a place where we just have to work with more people in order to have our desired outcome. On the other end of that, right, as a professional and understanding our business, we may have to take a look at this differently, because whenever you're working with one client, you're not just working with one client. You're really working with 4 to 5 clients at one time. You just don't know it. That one client is worth 3 to 4 referrals. So when you're working with that client, you want to do the best job for that client so that you get their friends, their family, and everyone they know business. This is a relationship business. So although something may not happen where you may not be compensated where you would like to be compensated on that particular deal, the magic happens through the referrals. And I believe that's where we're going to have to really focus on, and not focus on that one particular deal. We're going to have to focus on the referrals, and we are just going to have to do a better job at being a better business person. That's just my half a penny. Pat, what's your thought on that?
Yeah, so the way I kind of see it, there are going to be a lot of real estate professionals that never really took the time to be learning based and never really came from contribution, meaning that they treated the people that they were working with more as a transaction than a relationship. So part of the good news is a lot of those people are going to be out. The people that are going to be left standing are the people that have always put the interest of their client first. And so that's not going to change. The way I explained it to our 600 stakeholders is kind of look at it like an attorney. Attorneys, they have their fees, they have their billable hours and all that. And yet, most every reputable attorney will take on a pro bono case. You know, you do it because it's the right thing to do. I'm not asking anybody to work for free. We have to still be the advocates for the people. Like, it's almost like that military saying, Emmerich, you don't leave anybody behind. Like,
No man or woman left behind.
We're committed to make sure that no one is left behind. And I believe that most of the professionals that I know will have the same mindset. And that old Zig Ziglar saying, you help enough people get what they want, you're going to get what you want. And you just have to believe that.
So is this even really a challenge for real estate agents? I'm hearing you say, Emmerich, if you're a professional, to me, I feel like it's an opportunity to demonstrate our professionalism. Pat, you're saying we help people regardless of what we were getting paid anyway. You know, and you should. So is this even really an issue that we should be spending a lot of time focusing on as real estate agents?
We have to have these conversations. Like Emmerich was saying, we've been saying all along, this is a skill-based industry. However, the bar is set so low for entry into the industry that a lot of people haven't really taken it as seriously as they should have. So, like I said, the good news is those people are going to be getting out. For those of us that are committed and have a purpose, and yes, this is our livelihood, and we've been really blessed to have really great incomes, but the income that we earn is only a result of the service that we provide. And so, like Emmerich was saying, you're not going to be a millionaire real estate agent in this industry, and especially not now, if you are not treating the people as a fiduciary and really being able to provide that skill and expertise. So for those of us in that category, we're going to be absolutely fine. We'll be able to have listing appointments, talk to the seller, explain to the seller all of the many advantages they have by allowing the concession to go to the buyer so that the buyer is able to pay for their representation. And then you're going to have buyer agents that will do an even better job at making sure that they're truly offering those fiduciary responsibilities to the buyer. We're going to be absolutely fine. Everybody else, if you're not willing...
I want to stop right there, Pat. Say what you just said again. We're going to be what?
Absolutely fine.
One more time, Pat.
Absolutely fine.
We're going to be at... Well, you know what I said? You know what? Somebody sent me a message the very first day in our Black Real Estate Network, you know, just in panic. You know, people panic when these kind of things. And I sent that song. I don't even know who said, who's that? We gonna be all right? I didn't even have a response.
We gonna be all right.
Yeah.
We gonna be all right.
Yeah, that's what I just said. Like, girl, we gonna be all right.
Okay? Yeah.
We're gonna be just fine.
Even better before. But you've got to make sure that your skills are up, that you're really coming from contribution, that you care about the people, and it's a relationship business. If you're not willing to do that, get out. Get out now. Just move out the way.
Mm-hmm. When we're talking about that, the idea of professional education, honing your skills, honing your craft, and I say this all the time, relationships. Relationships, relationships, relationships. When you grow your relationships, you'll grow your transactions. And in growing your relationships, it's really about taking care of the people who are seeking your service, taking care of those people at the highest possible level, and you're going to be all right. You really are, because they're going to refer other people to you. I can't say that enough. And so with us going through this whole idea of the lawsuit, yes, it is a change in our business. The reality is that the real shift, and the way I see it, residential and commercial are going to pretty much operate the same when it comes to commission. And the commercial transaction, they don't disclose commissions either.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. Let me put it this way. You've been talking about raising your lid and being more professional and adding more value. And Pat's saying, if you weren't in it for the right reasons, get out anyways. We have a lot of new real estate agents.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I learn how to share my value? What do I do to learn how to be a better realtor?
Before you say that, Madam OP, Madam Operating Principal, it begins with the leadership of wherever you are. And so you, as a new operating principal, you're going to establish the lid for the people that work under your brokerage as far as the way that they seek professional education, because you're going to set the standard. You're going to set the bar. That's what I believe. I'm giving that directly to you. And I'm giving.
Yeah, and the sun rises and sets on leadership. So what you also should hear, if you are not under good leadership, and you are not at one of our market centers who are focused on training real estate agents to be the best professionals in the land, maybe you should seek out a brokerage that actually is focused on educating you on how to demonstrate your value or even be valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And if you don't have a copy, and this isn't, you know, plugging KW, this is for, and Gary wrote the book for everybody. It says it right in the book. This is for all real estate professionals. If you do not have a copy of the Millionaire Real Estate Agent book, grab a copy. If you already have a copy, but you never open the copy, because I know somebody gifted you a copy of that book, you know, brush it off. And it talks about the importance of making sure that you have the right people environment. And that's what Julia and Emmerich are saying now, that who you are in business with really matters. And if you're a real estate professional and you're going to your leadership and they're acting like it's all gloom and doom, and they have no answer for you as far as education or how to articulate your value. What is it that you even do to provide service? Then, you know, like Julia said, you should definitely, you know, just be very investigative about where you are and who you're with.
A few things that I would recommend, that if you are a real estate agent listening to this podcast episode today, there's a few things you can do. Right now, I'm on a presidential task force with NARAB, the National Association of Real Estate Brokers, who are identifying and investigating ways in which this may disproportionately affect Black homeownership. As such, the National Association of Real Estate Brokers, which is the Black Association, is creating a course, a short course content for real estate agents to take to understand how to demonstrate your value. They're also creating a small short class for the consumers about the value of using a real estate agent. The National Association of Realtors has an ABR course, accredited buyer representative, to learn how to be a really good representative to the buyers. There's all of those. We have a value squared course.
The ABR, they're offering it for no
free
charge. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a $295 course typically. So any member of NAR right now can take that course absolutely free.
Yep. You take it online for free. There's a lot of places you can learn to increase your education so that you can adequately demonstrate your value as a buyer's agent. And I would have zero problem telling a buyer, and for these services, this is my fee. And we'll figure out how to pay it. On the other side, again, the whole point of this conversation was the populations in which we serve. Do they have the money to pay it if the seller's agent isn't going to pay it? All I can say about that, this is my two cents. We are a creative people.
Mm-hmm.
We have been creative
since
the day that we know how to be creative. Get creative.
Yeah.
Right? Figure it out.
Right. And, yeah. and at the end of the day, representation is not an option if you really want to be honest.
There you go.
Because, again, the largest purchase that you're probably going to make in your lifetime, and there are no do-overs. There are no do-overs. So you want to make sure that your client has the best representation. The client wants to make sure that they have the best representation. And, you know, good advice doesn't cost you, it pays you. So it's not an expense, it's an investment. That's the key that we have to be able to drive home with the value.
Say that again, Emmerich. Good advice. Say that quote again.
Good advice doesn't cost you, it pays you.
All right. Yeah.
Right? you don't want to be on the other end of that expense. It's not an expense, it's an investment. And we have to take a look at it that way, is that professional representation is an investment in the future of my home purchase.
That's right. Yeah. Well, Ms. Pat, I sure thank you for joining us today. I would love if you could share one thing with our listeners that they should know about buyer representation specifically as it relates to Black homeownership.
Sit down with the people, be transparent, make sure that you have the conversation. I mean, that's kind of what this whole lawsuit, it's not that we were doing anything wrong. We just, evidently the consumer just didn't understand it. We didn't explain it well enough. So sit down, have those conversations. You meet with a seller and you have the listing presentation and you go over everything and, you know, they sign the agreement. We have to just start treating the buyers in the same way that we have been treating the sellers. Sit down. Don't skip any of the steps. Make sure.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Say that again. You said that the buyer's agents should sit down with the buyer and do a... Are you talking about a buyer conversation?
It's funny you said that. Yeah. I was just about to say it.
Well, I just want to say one more thing.
Go ahead.
With buyer consultation, you also make sure that when they're looking at properties and they're getting ready to make an offer, you as their buyer's agent need to be able to prepare a buyer cost estimate sheet, just like you prepare the closing net sheet for the seller. And you have to stop talking about that's not your job. It is your job. It's your job to do everything you can to represent the best interests of that buyer.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, and within along the same vein, you know, I believe that we've gotten into this whole microwave thing of microwave presentations. How soon can I get in and out of that house for a listing, or how soon can I get in or out of any buyer consultation? I just want to get to the good part where I talk about where I'm getting paid. We're just going to have to take a little more time to really explain and have a conversation with that client so that they fully understand the benefits and the value that you bring to the transaction and the value of having you in their transaction.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I sure appreciate y'all. As phenomenal leaders of very large brokerages, this is a conversation that we are having quite a bit. Everybody's in the industry is having it a lot. But we want to make sure that we continue down the path of increasing homeownership in the Black community, as it is the largest disparity that exists. We got to build wealth. That's what this conversation is about, the Absolutely. Color of Money podcast. And for friends, if you've not been tuning in, go back and listen to the other episodes. This podcast, we help you learn more, earn more, and build wealth.
What I wanted to be clear, that the intention of our podcast is to educate the Black agent, the Black consumer, the Black professional, just the Black person in general. The beautiful part about this podcast is anyone can listen to it and glean and get value from it. And so our intention is for that select group. The reality is that it's information for everyone. So if you hear, you're listening, don't tune it out because we say Black. You probably should tune in a little bit more because that makes us a lot more intentional about our conversation to make sure we get you all of the information that you should have to make the best business decision, whether it's money, whether it's buying a house, whether it's finance, whether it's insurance. We want to bring the best information, and the Color of Money podcast is the best place to get that information. That's all I wanted to say, Julie.
That was a good close, and I'll leave it at that. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next episode of the Color of Money podcast. We'll see you soon. Color of Money podcast today and get notified when new episodes are released weekly.
Be part of this transformative listening experience.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.